So here we are in chapter 4, which is about step 2, and it's called Yes, Yes, That, That, and That. Before we delve into the tantalizing realm of wants, it's important we understand what it is that gives joy and passion to our lives and makes life worth living. Oddly enough, what gives us happiness is the very thing we think we would like to avoid: contrast. To better illustrate this bizarre concept, come fly with me on an imaginary journey over a fictitious town on a fictitious planet that we're going to call Sameville. There it is, right below us. Now, do you notice the inertia of the people? It's boredom, and it's overpowering. Little wonder. No one has to make decisions in Sameville, for all decisions have the same outcome. Who'd want to live in such a place? What would be the point? We came here to this planet, strangely enough, for the contrast, not to be in Sameville. That's what our third-dimensional planet offers, this cornucopia of alternatives and choices, a training ground to help us determine what kinds of things we don't like so we can turn around and, thank you very much, create the kinds of things that we do like. Let's face it, we are wizards at identifying what displeases us. But we're not too hot at allowing ourselves to identify what we really, really do want so that we can magnetize those things into our lives for the sheer joy of having them. Life was meant to be, I don't like that, and I do like that. Instead, it turned out to be, well, I don't like that, but I guess I'm stuck with it. Then we bitch and stew and fuss and gripe about all the stuff we're stuck with, which of course keeps us even more stuck right in the middle of where we don't want to be. So what do you want? Do you know? Do you dare to dream? Do you dare to desire? Do you dare to let your imagination, the most divine and mighty gift of the human race, run to the winds of fancy? What do you want? What do you dearly, truly want? When very little has gone the way we would have deliberately chosen, why should we start wanting now? Well, it's the old, the more I want, the less I get scenario, along with the other side of the same coin that says, oh, sure, I have lots of desires and wants, but I don't ever expect to get them anyhow. Sad to say, we've been brainwashed into believing that most wants are not only self-serving, egotistical no-nos, but absurdly impossible. You found out early in life that the more you wanted something, the more you experienced the heartache of not having it. As a toddler who relished exploring, you waddled over to the glittering glass vase on the TV set and got screamed at, no, 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 don't touch. Not once, but hundreds of times. In fact, 60,000 times, researchers say, in a 3-year period, you were told, no, bad, you don't want that. So by the time you reached your 4th birthday, you were thinking twice about wanting much of anything, because wanting equated to bad. Nor does it stop after toddler years. No to this, no to that, absolutely not to what seems like just about everything as you're growing up. So most of us just lay our passions aside as we trudge into the dogmatic shoulds and have-tos of adulthood. We have seen the great truth, which states the more we want something outside of society's book of rules, the surer we seem to be of not getting it. We dream, it never happens. We dream a little more, it doesn't come. Pretty soon we bow to the fictitious truth that dreaming of or wanting anything outside of the norm, and often even within the norm, just isn't a fun thing to do. The more we want it, the worse we feel for not getting it. So finally, with the exception of the littlest dreams, the ones we know are prudent and obtainable, We stop dreaming altogether, and there we stay, in the blink sanctuary of Sameville, protected by the erroneous belief that if we dream small and nothing happens, we won't be hurt big. Dear God in heaven, what a way we've chosen to live. So let's break the want barrier. There are three basic kinds of wants, each with its own purpose in our dream file. There's the real want. That comes from the don't wants. I don't want to go to my in-laws for the holidays. Instead, I want blurpty blurp. I don't want to live here anymore. Instead, I want blurpty blurp. Those are the easiest. You know, you just turn the page of a don't want, and there's your real want on the other side. Then there's negative wants. I want to be well, as a clear focus on the apparent fact that you're not, like we were talking about before. That's a negative want. I want to be rich presents the same difficulty. Both are coming from a place of lack that causes us discomfort by the very fact that we don't have what we're wanting. Negative wants are always don't wants and can be tough to spot unless you just tune into your feelings, which simply means that if what you want and the way you're stating it is not making you feel good, it's negative wanting and needs to be flipped over to become a positive intent, an excited desire, okay? And then you got the rightful wants. Now, we have a right by virtue of our existence to test our creative skills in any manner we choose. We have a right to displace any don't want in our lives with a want at any time. And if it pleases us, it will probably also please others. If not, well, then so be it. With rightful wants, we accept the very real fact that it is not only appropriate and proper, but critical for us to want anything, anywhere, of any kind, at any amount, in any shape, to any degree, at any time we so desire. Anything. Yeah, I know. All this may sound callous and uncaring and grossly self-serving, but please bear with me before jumping to conclusions, and you'll see how this outrageous approach to life will also profoundly benefit all who surround and depend on you.